Good evening. This is the May meeting of the San Luis Obispo County Health Commission, and I'd like to call this meeting to order. First item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes of our April 13th meeting. Are there any changes or additions to the minutes as sent out to us from any commissioners? There being no changes or additions, the minutes will stand as printed and published on our website. Now is the time for public comment. Anyone wishing to speak on an issue that is not on the agenda is welcome to come forward and speak. I see there being no one who wants to do that. We'll move to the next item on our agenda, which is Healthy Eating, Active Living, a report from Kathleen. Welcome. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate your taking the time.
Okay, so I need to... Thanks for having me here. Again, my name is Kathleen Carley. I'm with the Public Health Department. I know everyone up there, except for I haven't met you, Don. Very nice to meet you. I'm here today to talk about Heal Slow. The last time I was here, I talked to you about CMSP. And so I brought some slides. Is everything up there? Now, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir on this because I know that Ed attends Heal Slow meetings, and I know Lynn was very involved in it, so I hope I'm not going to bore you with some of this information, but I wasn't sure who knew what, so I did a little background information for you. So Healthy Eating, Active Living San Luis Obispo is a coalition of members in the community, and our focus is on childhood obesity. First slide, I mean, it's pretty graphic to look at obesity trends in the United States. And if you just look at the colors on your slide, you'll see that back in 1981, very few regions of the country had over 14% obesity. And now we're up to the last slide here is 2004. And you see that 20 to 24% is pretty well across the country, and there are pockets that have higher than that. When I started in the healthcare field in 1986, I ran an obesity program. It was for adults. Obesity then was an issue of overweight, middle-aged adults who had diabetes and high cholesterol. In the period between 1986 and present, the obesity rates have skyrocketed, and now we're finding it in our children as well. Of course, you all know the health risks associated with obesity, type 2 diabetes. I have a friend who's an endocrinologist in Santa Barbara. He said within 20 years there will not be enough dialysis units to take care of all the people who need to have dialysis from type 2 diabetes. Heart disease, stroke, asthma, cancer, depression, I mean, the list goes on. We all know the health risks associated with obesity, and they're real. Our children's health, I got this out of the task force report that the task force presented to the board. 34% of U.S. children are overweight or obese. Obesity rates have increased 2 to 3-fold in the past 25 years. 30% of children eat fast food on any given day, and they're not getting the salads. We know that. The prevalence of childhood diabetes has increased 10-fold in 20 years. In 1986, the only people who had type 2 diabetes were adults. Type 2 diabetes was unheard of in children. If you were a child and had diabetes, you had type 1 diabetes, you were born with it. Now we see children as young as teenagers being diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. 500% increase in soft drink consumption between the 1950s and today. 49% of every U.S. food dollar is spent on food eaten outside the home. And kids 8 to 12 years old spend on average 44.5 hours per week watching TV, playing video games, and playing on their computer. You know, a lot of parents say, well, when we were kids, we used to go outside and play. And there's a lot of things that keep kids from going outside and playing nowadays. TV, computers, one thing is drawing them in, but there's fears that if I let my kids go outside, somebody will snatch them. you know, they'll get hurt. I mean, there's all these things going on, and as a result, we've become a very inactive society, particularly our young people. Now, the next couple of slides are just interesting. Portion distortion. I mean, Cokes and French fries have been around a long time, but just look at the difference in sizes. 20 years ago, the average size of French fries was 2.4 ounces and 210 calories. Today, the average French fry has jumped 400 calories, and that's not the gigantic unit size. That's just the regular size. Sodas, 20 years ago, a little bottle, 6.5 ounces. Today, and even that one in the picture, that's not as big as they get. I mean, they come much larger than that. So just if you just got French fries and a soda and you just ordered the small, you're already more calories than you were 20 years ago. On top of the increased calories, of course, you've got physical activity. This is a quote from David Satcher. The major barrier to physical activity is the age in which we live. I read something in the newspaper, I don't know, about a week ago, and it was talking about what it took to fix a chicken dinner 100 years ago and what it takes to fix a chicken dinner nowadays. And 100 years ago, first you had to go find the chicken, right? You know? Now you just, you know, plop your plastic wrap a little bit and then stick it in the microwave. I mean, all of the activity that we did to make this dinner has gone away. It's all about convenience nowadays. Jean says she thinks you've seen this slide before, but it's a wonderful slide about community design. When I was a manager of the OptiFast program 20-some years ago, I went to a conference and CDC was starting to talk about the role of environmental factors in obesity. And they talked about this wonderful housing development in Atlanta that had been built, and then they built a park to go along with the housing development. Well, unfortunately, in between the housing development and the park was this mad freeway, and how do you get from one to the other? So the whole idea of environmental design, community design, you can't walk on a street like that. You wouldn't send your child to the grocery store if they lived in a neighborhood like that. And so our environment is critical as well. And we make our food and activity choices in the context of our environment. Now, many of you know this. Again, I'm preaching to the choir, but in February 2006, the Board of Supervisors, with full support from the Health Commission, endorsed the creation of a task force, and the task force was charged to develop a countywide policy on childhood obesity. And there's your board chairperson in that picture right there. You can see Lynn. And they funded the Community Foundation to act as a fiscal agent to support this task force and facilitate them through the planning process. The task force based their work on the socio-ecological model. In other words, in 1986, when I worked in an obesity program, all we did was focus on the individual. We taught behavior change and the role of exercise, and we worked with physicians. But what happened at the end of 5 years was that everybody gained their weight back. And we recognize that it's not just the individual. You have to look at what's going on around the individual. People used to tell us, they'd come in and we'd teach them these wonderful things, but they'd say they went to work and there was a party at work. And of course, what everybody brings to the party at work is these high calorie things. They don't bring the healthy stuff, not to the party at work. Or then you get into Christmas, and what do? At Christmas, you overeat. I mean, it's almost accepted that we're all going to gain 7 pounds over the Christmas holidays. We all, you know, think that that's the norm. You've got organizational things, you've got community issues, and you've got public policy. One of the great things about the obesity movement nowadays, or obesity prevention movement, I guess would be the better way to look at it, is that it's focusing on policy. And the tobacco movement, the anti-tobacco people, have been very effective with policy. We all know that. If you look in the 50s, 38% of our population smoked, and now we're down to about 13% in the state of California. And it's really about policy. It's about changing the environment and changing the policy. And so the obesity prevention people realize that's what we have to do if we're going to be successful. Now, the goal of this task force was to make children in San Luis Obispo County healthier, and they decided to focus on it through three avenues: one, community awareness and commitment, opportunities for healthful eating, and opportunities for physical activity. Interestingly, the Heal Slow Coalition now has three subcommittees. One of them is on community mobilization that would take care of the top goal there. We also have a healthful eating subcommittee and a physical activity subcommittee. So we formed into subcommittees based on these goals from the task force. The county hired a health educator in November 2007 to coordinate these efforts. The current health educator, unfortunately, was unable to be here this evening, but her name is Vanessa Adame, and she's wonderful at her work. And she works with the Heal Slow Collaborative to achieve our goals in the community. And Ed is a very regular member of coalition meetings. I see him there all the time. Now, accomplishments. It gets smaller there. Hopefully you can see that. We looked back over what we'd achieved in the past year. So first thing, we created a website and a logo. There's your reference to our website. Anyone in the community who has something related to healthful eating and activity can post on the website. And it's got a lot of great information, recipes, you know, nice things to review. A walk to school day was sponsored in San Miguel twice, and there was great participation from families. We received a grant from the California Endowment. It's a 2-year grant. It helps pay for the health educator, but it also focuses on the communities of Oceano and San Miguel. Those are low-income communities with high rates of obesity. And we're working on policies in the elementary schools. The coalition had a presence at the SenCal Forum. SenCal, our Medi-Cal provider, has had a forum for the past couple of years on obesity. We've had a presence. Someone from our coalition has been a speaker the past 2 years. The coalition also developed the Prescription Trails brochure. It's a wonderful brochure, a wonderful resource for physicians. I don't think a lot of our physicians know about it. You're a doctor, you've got a patient in your office that's overweight, what do? So this brochure gives the patient ideas of where to walk in their community. So it's targeted for north, south, and central San Luis Obispo County. And it says these are some easy walking trails that you could take. And so the doctor can write a prescription rather than writing it for a drug. You say, I want you to go walk, and here's where you can walk. So it's a wonderful resource. And we also did a walkability survey in Oceano and San Miguel, and I put some asterisks there because I've got the results I'm going to present to you when I get done with the rest of this. Other accomplishments, COPE, which is the Cal Poly Emerging Center for Obesity Prevention Education, has really started to blossom, and they've worked on several things in the community, and they've got a symposium in October. One day will be for the medical community, and one day will be for the general community on all of these issues, obesity prevention. Smart growth, which goes back to that environmental factor in designing communities where you can do what you need to do and stay healthy. Smart growth appeared on the Board of Supervisors agenda in March, and they were in favor of those principles. Project Lean, which is funded by the California Department of Public Health, came and did two local trainings on wellness policy implementation and wellness policy advocacy. And we had a good turnout of about 50 people at each of those trainings. Our coalition meetings are well attended. There's a diverse group who attends and participates. We were also able to send local food service directors to a farm-to-school conference in Portland last month, so where they can learn how to use local produce and bring it into the school setting and serve it to kids on their lunch hour. And we've also gotten a lot of media coverage. Now, goals for the coming year. The physical activity work group, they really want to promote that Prescription Trails brochure. They're going to try and do it at the COPE Symposium. And they also want to focus on walk to school days this year. The Healthy Eating Work Group has several ideas for the COPE Symposium, including sponsoring a CME activity for professionals, as well as doing supermarket tours and healthy tastings. And the community mobilization group was going to work on branding and more name recognition in the community. And they'll also help coordinate press releases and maintain the website. In addition, the coordinating committee will continue to seek funding so we can have a stable program for the next, at least for the foreseeable future. The public health department, we're working on several programs. A Rethink Your Drink campaign is to look at kids in elementary schools and on sports teams so that they don't drink the high sugar drinks, that they focus on water and healthy drinks. So we're going to be working on a media campaign in the coming months. And we're also working on a Promotoras program. Promotoras are health educators, lay people that are trained on different health topics. And we're really focusing on San Miguel. We had a telephone conference this morning, working closely, hopefully, with our California Children's Services and doing some training of lay professionals in San Miguel to get them involved and get them participating in this grant program we have in San Miguel. The YMCA is working on a jump rope. It's actually called Jump In, and it's a way to teach kids in after-school programs jump rope competitions and things to make it fun. You know, I remember when I was a kid, jump ropes, everybody did jump ropes. They're not too in anymore. So this is a way to make jump ropes more popular, and they're really focusing on after-school programs. And then CenCal will have another forum in the winter. Now, this next thing I'll share with you is the walkability survey that was done in San Miguel and Oceano. I want to point out that the Community Foundation funded this, and the Community Foundation has been a wonderful partner for these efforts all the way through. They were on the task force in the beginning. Janice Wolf is invaluable. She's at every meeting. She's a wonderful resource, and we couldn't have achieved as much as we achieved without the Community Foundation. So I want to thank them. And then we also had an AmeriCorps worker this year that took this project and really saw this project through. And it's really very interesting what they found. There's something called the Communities of Excellence in Nutrition, Physical Activity, and Obesity Prevention. And it's really a planning framework. There's a similar Communities of Excellence process that I have to go through for the tobacco program when we set goals every year. And this one was modified to focus on nutrition, physical activity, and obesity. And, you know, at the core of all this is the idea that if people can change their communities to become healthier places, they in turn will be healthier, which makes a lot of sense, right? So this process involves looking in the community environments. We targeted San Miguel and we targeted Oceano because that's where we were doing our grant work. And it looks at it to say, for example, you see that one community indicator on the slide. Supermarkets and grocery stores offering healthy, affordable food choices are located in low-income neighborhoods and readily accessible to residents. So that would be a goal that you would set, a standard of excellence that you would want. Now, we all know from our reading that, unfortunately, in low-income neighborhoods, there don't tend to be a lot of big grocery stores and a lot of healthy produce. And so that would be something that we would want. That would be a good goal. And when they did this survey, they only looked at things within a community's control. So, for example, we all know that there's advertising on television. Anytime you sit down and you turn on the television, don't try and be on a diet because all of these things are on there all the time. Well, a community has no control over that. So they look at what the community has control over. So in the neighborhood food environment, it includes all venues where food is sold. They looked at fast food restaurants. They look at marketing slogans. So you see that's an actual picture. They sent people out into the community, and there they are in Paso Robles, and they see the sign on the side of a delivery truck. Now, the reason they ended up in Paso Robles and Arroyo Grande for some part of their survey is that neither San Miguel or Oceano has a high school. So we know that obesity is not limited to elementary school children. So they went to where the high school was. So they did some of their survey around Paso Robles High and some around Arroyo Grande High, and then they focused the majority of it in the communities of Oceano and San Miguel. And they, that's a picture of a produce section of a market in Arroyo Grande. They went in and looked. There were some other pictures I saw of some rotten bananas in one of the stores. I didn't bring that because I didn't want the store to get mad at me, but they actually looked. Is the produce healthy? Is the produce look good? Is the produce rotten? How much does the produce cost compared to produce at, you know, if you went to Food for Less or something like that? So they looked at what's available, because we all know we're going to tend to stay close to home when we're doing our shopping. None of us wants to drive 50 miles to go get some bananas. And then they also looked at the activity environment. What's it like in that neighborhood? Are there parks? Are there places for kids to play? If there is a park, is there a way for the child to get to the park? And so, for example, they found broken sidewalks near Arroyo Grande High School, but there were sidewalks. You go to San Miguel, and the one way for the kids to get to school, if you've been to San Miguel, there's a brand new wonderful housing development, and there's a railroad tracks, and then there's the school. And the only way for the kids to get from the housing development to the school is to walk across an unsafe railroad crossing. I mean, there's no crossing guard, there's nothing there. Or what the kids can do is get on a bus, which would take them 10 minutes to walk to school, but they get on the bus. They had, you know, one of the volunteers that worked at one of the walk to school days in San Miguel, he was standing at the corner waiting for the kids to walk with him to school, and the bus came, and all these kids got on the bus, and he goes, "Why are you getting on the bus?" You know? And they said, "Because that's the way we go to school." And so... You know, I mean, these are the types of things you have to think about if you're looking at obesity issues in a community. And so they actually got volunteers, they got high school students, they got Cal Poly students, and they went out and they took pictures. And they did surveys and they, you know, asked people questions, and then they have some results. I like that one picture there, the only fast food restaurant in Oceano. It's a cute little place, but they don't have McDonald's and all of that in Oceano. Now, in Paso Robles, they have all kinds of fast food outlets all around the high school. They surround the high school. After they did this survey, and, you know, if any of you want a copy of the whole survey, I'm sure we can get it to you, but they made some recommendations. So, food availability in San Miguel. Work with store owners to improve the selection of healthy foods and produce. They found, you know, poor representation of healthy produce in the San Miguel area. And they also felt that local officials should be lobbied to encourage construction of a large grocery store in San Miguel. If you live in San Miguel, you have to drive to Paso Robles to a large grocery store. And a lot of people don't have transportation. It's not convenient. And even if they do have transportation, then what's that doing to our environment with the road trips that we're putting on our car and the pollution and all the rest of it? So that would be great. Outdoor marketing. Encourage store owners to decrease the amount of alcohol ads and replace them with healthy advertisements. They went into the stores, so they walk into the stores and they actually look at what ads are up. And there was a lot of alcohol ads. Now, one of the good things they found in San Miguel was that there is a park and a school. There was no billboards or anything that had any negative ads on it. But San Miguel, I don't think there's a billboard in the whole town, is there? Other than welcome to San Miguel. But when you find something like that, that's called a standard of excellence. That's something that you want to maintain. So, yeah, there's no billboards up there now, but let's not put any billboards up, okay? Let's keep all the Fritos and all of that stuff off the billboards. And so that was the other thing. And then walkability. That railroad crossing is really very dangerous. They say since the survey was done, there have been two places where you can cross the street in San Miguel, two crosswalks put in, but it's down the street. To understand what would have to happen, the kids would have to walk back quite a ways to get to the railroad, to get to the crossing place that's safe, and then go back the other way. So it would be like walking a horseshoe completely backwards to get back to the elementary school. And I don't know many kids that are going to do that. So they really need to figure out a way to get a pedestrian crossing right where the pedestrian crossing needs to be. As new housing projects, again, smart growth, as new housing projects enter San Miguel, implement requirements for the construction of sidewalks. Get sidewalks, and then kids will walk on the sidewalks. The principal, we had a meeting with the principal last week, and he said, if I could have anything, what I would like would be large boulders to sit along the side of the road where the kids walk, so that if the car was going to run into them, they'd hit the boulder. So he said, can anyone write me a grant for large boulders? You know, that's how simple it could be, just some large boulders, right? Install streetlights and lower the speed limit. What they say is when you're going into San Miguel, coming from the north, so into the north into town, you don't realize how quickly the town is upon you when you're driving that road. When you're coming from the south going up, you can see everything. You see the little storefronts. You know what's going on. But coming the other way, they say cars come through very, very fast, and they don't realize they've reached a residential area. And so they really need to lower the speed limit on that street. Okay, recommendations for Oceano. And they said Oceano has a lot of grocery stores, there's a lot of healthy produce, and so their recommendation is continue. Okay, you're doing a good job. No new fast food establishments will enter Oceano, and I'm sure that little guy that's got the only one that's there is very happy about that recommendation, right? He's got a monopoly if he stays that way. Discourage any future vending machines, billboards, or other type of advertising around the park and the school. They did find a lot of billboards around Arroyo Grande High School, a lot of fast food advertising. And, you know, advertising does have an effect on us, whether we want to believe it or not. And then work with store owners to limit the amount of advertisements visible to children. The other thing they said is Oceano has a lot of sidewalks. Sometimes they're broken up. You've got a sidewalk, you're walking, you're doing really good, and then all of a sudden the sidewalk stops and it doesn't start again for a couple blocks. If they could, you know, connect the gaps in those sidewalks. But there are a lot of sidewalks in Oceano. One of the biggest areas, that picture of those kids, they're walking along Highway 1. And Highway 1, everyone goes very fast. There's no real way for anyone to walk along there safely. And so they say lower the speed limit and create something so that families and young children, the park, you have to cross that little incline right there to get to the park. So you have to walk that way to get to the park. So there's got to be something that can be done to make that safer so people will be able to walk to the park and use it. Jean's going to kill me because I talked faster than I thought, right? more information, I put Vanessa's contact up there, my contact up there, our HealSlow website. Lynn, I'm not exactly sure what else you would like me to address. Do you have any questions that I can answer for you?
Well, let's see. Are there any questions from commissioners?
Yeah. Good.
Go ahead, Commissioner.
I just had one of the first ones that just came up for me when we were looking at those crosswalks on Highway 1,
mm-hmm.
And it said that some of them just need to be repainted. Now, Highway 1 would be Caltrans, correct? And but I'm just wondering, is there some way, because that's probably not high on their priority list, mm-hmm. is there some way that a community group or something can come up with the funding for a project like that?
Well, you know, the deadline's passed now. There are some, we saw a grant, and we actually took it to the planning department, but they were so busy they weren't able to pursue it. But there are some grants that Caltrans has that they're looking for, you know, projects that are ready to go and to do infrastructure. And that would be an infrastructure type thing. So there are some grants out there. I'd be willing to bet there's more with the stimulus money. And they're looking for projects that are ready to go that would provide infrastructure. And so it's just a matter of someone having the time and initiative to do it. But I do think that we're lucky right now because of the stimulus money, and they really are looking for those type of projects. So you know, I know you're in the other end of the county, Sue, so you're not going to be able to do anything in Oceano, but, you know, it would be a good project for someone.
Yeah, well, I was wondering, like, your community mobilization committee or someone like that,
I could take it back to them and talk to them about it. The partner that we're working with partners in both areas of the county, but the partner we're working with in Oceano is the Oceano Boys and Girls Club. So this would be a little beyond what they would do, but they may be able to get some families together to support something like that, and because they do work a lot in that community.
Well, and I know there are some service clubs and some of the adult mm-hmm. clubs that in Oceano can get very active. I know mm-hmm. they were when I was down there working when they were putting together the community center.
Right.
And they can really get behind the projects in these small communities. And
right.
maybe one of those adult groups could be
right.
found to pick up on that.
Yeah, sounds good.
Good. And a couple of other comments I had was, have we looked at closed campuses on the high schools? When we talk about the kids and their availability for fast food, mm-hmm. It seems to me that that's just such a huge correlation between that lunchtime and the fast food places. Mm-hmm. Have you found resistance?
We haven't. Right now, we just started the program. We're working at the elementary schools. Mm. I think that would be the next step, would be for us to focus on the high school campuses. But right now, we're swamped with elementary school stuff. And luckily, they stay on campus.
And I want to commend you guys, for removing the vending machines
right.
from the campuses and getting that out of there. And I think some of this got answered, but I know there's like a sustainability group for some of these small farm stays mm-hmm. and different organizations. Have you guys tapped in to work with them?
We're working with CCAN, which is the Central Coast Agricultural Network.
Oh, okay.
And they represent a lot of small farms in the area. And then they're tied into another agricultural group. So we're working pretty close with them and tying them together with the food service directors. So there's a lot of stuff going back and forth that way.
Oh, that's great. And two other comments. One, when we were talking about grocery stores in some of these smaller neighborhoods and stuff, you know, maybe we could get them to, they seem to be able to put in a lot of liquor stores,
right.
and maybe we could at least turn one of those into a produce store. And my other comment here is about the, anybody want a bourbon burger from Carl's Jr.?
I know.
I don't know. I mean, that's a pretty sneaky way to get a liquor ad in. But it's when you, I'm just really aware right now is seeing some of this and what's happening in the media.
Right.
And it's pretty alarming.
It is.
And I would urge people. I know someone that actually wrote Carl's Jr. emailed them, and they said that they were taking the complaints up. So if anybody's got complaints, feel free to contact them.
Okay, thanks.
Are there any other questions from commissioners? Commissioner Shimosis?
Two questions and a comment. In terms of I'll do the comment first since it's most recently mentioned. In the village of Arroyo Grande, we had a small market that was there for many, many years, and
right.
the city planners, in their infinite wisdom, decided to shut it down in favor of a shopping mall or something to that effect, which was extremely discouraging. It was a nice little market.
I remember that market.
Yeah, JJ's. It was pretty sad. But my question, how was it that these particular communities, Oceano and San Miguel, were chosen for this particular grant?
Because we know that obesity rates tend to be higher in lower income communities. And we looked at the data that we had, and that was true of San Miguel and Oceano. Interestingly, we participated in a webinar, Vanessa and I, a couple weeks ago, and they were looking at, you know, what are the predict kids to
other commissions.
Take a step. Very you can't go.
Effective. When you this big
that testing attack
here, my
work any
this is
or every month. Exactly do you last time? Reduction. And you'll there. Operation. To see the why we're indirect will do. Action. Past couple. With starting. We have something that the CD have as a that of the Wolves doing very be like distribution. This was to know
Questions for Dr.
people know if is that educate. Of have those kinds. When samples. And than that. Health lab. Yes, I... two. Would not expect. You know, we're not. Structure.
Report.
Of the age. So.
now to the
committee will be
that's interesting. Tenure.